Ephesians chapter 4. Today I'd like to share basically like a companion message of the last message I shared, which was 2 weeks ago. But today, same theme and topic, but with a little different angle, a little different application, I guess, here. So Ephesians chapter 4, and once you get your hands free, let's make our confession together here this morning. I'll give you a chance to get yourself set there. And if you're ready, I'd like to ask you to join me. The words are on the screen if you need those. I believe you believe it. we speak it because we believe it. That's what the Bible teaches. It says, I believe, therefore I speak. So let's declare our confidence in God this morning. Would you join me as we make this declaration? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. God calls us to Himself out of sin and death. God is a Father, and He wants us to know Him as a Father. He wants to adopt us into His family. But there is a barrier blocking that adoption and that knowing Him, and it's called sin. Thank God He loved us so much that He sent Jesus, and that's why He died on the cross. He suffered and died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. We can be forgiven. We can know God as our Father. We can have His Holy Spirit in us right now, and we can be with Him forever. We don't have to be banished to a place that Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus conquered sin and death. He conquered Satan. He conquered the grave and came back to life 3 days later. And when God draws us to turn from unbelief and turn from our way to His way and believe on Jesus as Lord, that He becomes our God, then we're forgiven, we're brought into the family, and God makes us new. But then there is a daily practical aspect of where we have to put off still some old ways. How many of you have been Christian for longer than like 5 minutes? And we still have some old ways, don't we? And so He wants us to continually put off those old and put on the new. So here's what He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. He says that he's writing to believers, and he says that you put off, that we have to make a conscious choice, it's an act of our will, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. That refers to the tendency we have to sin. That's what that means, all right? It's just our natural tendency to sin. He said, I want you to put that off because that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, or be continually renewed is how that's worded. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind and not just put off. Sometimes we, with good intentions, can say something like, well, I'm going to quit doing this and I'm going to stop doing that. That's fine. But if we don't replace it with something good or godly or better, it's easy to slip right back because we're not created for that kind of a vacuum. So if someone parties every Friday night, you come to the Lord and say, I'm not partying anymore, and you just sit home by yourself all weekend, you're probably going to be tempted to call an old number or text or something. So that's where you got to say, I'm going to go to meet some godly friends or Christians. I'm going to do something to hang out with them. So we replace the bad with the good. And He says again in verse 24 that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I know we might have different translations. I'm reading in the New King James. Would you read that verse out loud with me? I'd like to give you a little challenge. Let's focus on that. Let's meditate on that this week and let it become part of our spirit, our heart, our mind, and life, because it's really about living it out anyway. Would you read it out loud with me, verse 24? And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the message today is simply this: put off the old, put on the new. This is a conclusion, a second part. Put off the old, put on the new. And again, I want to say this, it's got to be a way of life for us, because we'll never arrive in this life. We always want to grow in Christ, and thank God we can grow. I want to encourage somebody today. I'm telling you, as one who's felt the discouragement of feeling like you fail and you mess up, you'll never get it right, that don't give up. Thank God. God is right here with us. He's with us. He's for us. He'll help us if we trust him. So just keep on, keep chipping away at it, and just stay close to the Lord. Ultimately, it's about knowing God as our Father and growing in Christ. That's really what it's about anyway. Knowing God as our Father and growing in Christ's likeness. Put off the old, put on the new. Would you say that with me? Put off the old, put on the new. Would you lovingly tell someone next to you and with a smile, put off the old, put on the new? Aren't you glad we can grow in Christ? Aren't you glad we can be transformed by the grace of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit? Now, following Jesus, and here's the little different aspect I want to center on today. Following Jesus requires us to battle at times. Amen. Thank God he already provided what we need for victory. But we must use what God has provided. So if you want to stay right here in Ephesians, I want to read just a few verses in 2 Corinthians 10. If you want to turn, it's not far either way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," walk means it's a lifestyle, "though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." That simply means we live in this flesh and blood body. We live in a world marred by sin. But brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to fight like the world fights. There are wrong ways to fight. There are sinful ways. And sinful ways, old ways, will not help us in this battle. Will not help us in this warfare. He didn't say we don't fight. He just said we don't fight that way. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not the fleshly. They're not physical. "But they are mighty in God." Thank God. Our weapons are mighty in God. Why? "For pulling down strongholds." We need spiritual weapons to pull down a stronghold. He goes on in verse 5 and says this, "Casting down arguments," the King James says imaginations, "every high thing, every proud obstacle that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we use the mighty weapons of God to bring every thought into captivity," like a POW, "into the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Put off the old, put on the new. The word stronghold literally means a fortress. It's a fortress. And y'all know what a fortress is, right? We need God's mighty weapons to demolish fortresses, devilish fortresses, and bring that area of our lives back under the lordship of King Jesus. We need divinely empowered weapons to capture every thought and imagination and everything that would exalt itself against us knowing God, and bring those thoughts captive into obedience to Christ. Physical weapons aren't going to help us in that battle. So it's so important that we use the weapons that God has provided. So let me ask you this now. I'll give you a hint. Some of them are in Ephesians 6. But what are the weapons? This text doesn't really tell us specifically what the weapons are. It just says, use the mighty weapons of God in order to... And if you think about a fortress, I've been over, you know, to the Middle East there, touring the Holy Land, some of those old walls. They would have to take a battering ram. And it was just, they didn't shoot an arrow at it and say, "Oh, it didn't fall down, I quit." I mean, they had to use that battering ram and hit it and hit it and hit it again and again and again and again. And eventually the wall would collapse and they could go in and take that territory. It's the same way for us spiritually, that sometimes some battles are tougher than others. And we may have to use that weapon again and again and again, like that battering ram, to bring it down, but we can do it by God's grace. So what are the weapons that we can use in this battle? Okay, putting off the old, putting on the new. One is the sword of the Spirit. And that It's the word of God is how it says it. But that word means it's a rhema word. It's a specific, all the scriptures inspired. But when we take a specific word and we're dealing with a particular area and we use it and confess it and speak it in faith out of our mouth, that becomes a spiritual sword, and that's a mighty weapon to pull down those strongholds and bring those thoughts captive. Thank you. Anyone else? What else? What other weapon? Okay, so in that Ephesians 6 talks about armor too. So there is protection and weapons, and I'll show you a verse in a minute that they both can be similar. But righteousness, being in right standing with God. We can't do it. What is the first step that we must take? The Bible says, calls it a shield. If we don't believe, we're not going to win any battles. We've got to believe God and believe His word to use what He's entrusted to us. So faith is a weapon. It's a mighty weapon. Believe in God's word. Anything else you think of? Okay, the helmet of salvation to capture those thoughts. I think I hear someone else. Did someone say truth? I don't know if. Okay, truth. Yeah, truth is, you know, the Bible says, put on the belt of truth. So truth is a weapon. We need truth to defeat deception and lies. So those are weapons. Let me, if you want to write this verse down, let me read it to you. It's found in Romans chapter 13, Romans 13, verse 12. The Bible says this. We can put it on the screen. It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us, talking about putting off and putting on, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor. That's the same Greek word that's translated weapons in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Put on the armor of light. Put on the weapon of light. I've never really thought of light being a weapon. But see, that's where that's where worship and praise can be important. Worship and praise brings us into the presence of God, and God's presence is associated with light. And the light is greater than darkness. It doesn't matter about the darkness. Light always dispels and drives out darkness. So we put off the old, put on the new. And it's not just, it's the light of God's presence, the light of His word. And what about the name of Jesus? The authority and power in the name of Jesus in prayer is a weapon that we can use. That's right. The name above every other name. Y'all helping me this morning. I appreciate it. But we need these weapons to overcome what are called the world, the flesh, and the devil. That just simply means a world order that's in rebellion to God's authority. It means our own natural tendency to sin, and it also means the spirit world, those evil spirits that we battle against. So again, it's not against people, but it's against spirits. Would you look at this in Ephesians 4, verse 26? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says it like this. He says, put off, put on, then be angry and do not sin. You're allowed to have emotions. We're human, all right? But just don't be controlled by them is what he's saying. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That makes for a miserable night's sleep. Do not let the sun go down on the wrath, nor give place to the devil. That can literally mean room, like an area. Remember when Jesus was born and he said that they laid him in a manger or a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn? Room is the same word, place. Don't give the devil place. Some translations say opportunity. Don't let him have that, because if we, man, I've struggled with that at times. We all had, been angry. And you want to nurse that thing and you want to just milk it. But if we don't make the choice to put that off, use our mighty weapons, then we can start to open a door a little bit to give Satan a little bit of room. You know what they say, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. With the devil is a little different. It's like if you give him an inch, he'll become a ruler. Is that right? So he says, don't give him that place. So we got to put off the old and put on the new. So let me just ask you, please, you don't need to say anything. Just within your own heart and mind, think about this. Is there an area in your life that you want to reclaim for King Jesus? And you say, maybe, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but you've maybe allowed him to get a foothold in. Maybe he's starting to build a little stronghold. Doesn't mean you're unworthy or anything like that. It means you're human. But is there an area you want to claim, reclaim? Maybe is there one, just think about one, not a million, maybe one area in your life where you would say, I'd like to put off the old in this area and put on the new me. Put off the old, put on the new. Because see, the new you is created after God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the new you. See, the new you is a respectful wife. The new you is a loving husband. The new you is an equipping and guiding parent. The new you is an honoring son or daughter. The new you is a faithful follower of Jesus. The new you is a diligent employee. So those are that's the new you. I remember not long after we were married, we went to it was a new church for us at the time, and they had a guest speaker. I don't even remember the pastor's name. He was there with his wife. But something he said that day stood out to me, and I remembered it when I was preparing for this message. This is the pastor speaking, and he said, sometimes in those occasions when he didn't act like Jesus, y'all know that we're still human, right, pastors? His wife would tell him something. Now, you might imagine what she could say, right? There are all kinds of options that she could choose from, right? Well. That's right. But I thought she said something very wise. She said, that's not the real you. I said, wow. But it caught him. And maybe we could even tailor it a little bit today to say, that's not the new you. Yes, I still have me, Rocky. But that's not the new me. So put off the old and put on the new. And so what is that area for you? And today I just want to again give you these three areas of how we can apply this in the sense of battle and the sense of winning victory that the Lord has provided for us, or using the weapons he's given us in these three areas: our thoughts, our words, and our fellowship. Thoughts, words, and fellowship. And if you would join me there, we'll just look at these verses, if you want to write them down. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And they all go together. Thoughts, words, fellowship. You'll see how they all kind of blend in together here. And the Bible says this, related to our thoughts, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul's writing to the same church here just a little bit later, and he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity. That doesn't mean Christians ought to be simple. It means singleness. It means purity. It's single-hearted devotion to Christ. And he says, I don't want the devil to influence your thoughts to the point that he leads you away from a single-hearted devotion to Christ. And because thoughts can lead to actions. So the devil wants to influence our thoughts to pull us away. That's why we have to use the weapons that God has given us. We have to pray. We have to worship. We have to speak the word of God. Just think about this a second. Is there just a thought, like a mindset, that is hindering you from living in God's perfect will? Is there just an attitude or thoughts that you're battling that are hindering you? Brothers and sisters, if we want to live in the fullness of our new life in Christ, we've got to learn and base our thoughts about God. We've got to learn and base our thoughts about ourselves, about other people, about everything, every area, on the truth of the inspired written word of God. It's the only way that we can discern and avoid the rampant deception of our day. Verse 4 says this, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You see how some were coming in, they were going to tell them about, there's another Jesus. There's another spirit. There is another so-called gospel. It's a Jesus who will tell you you can live any way you want, and God's okay with it because he loves you and you're still good. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's another Jesus. That's a false spirit, and that's a false gospel. There's another that'll say you can do this, or you can, we all struggle in areas, but let's be true to God's word. Let's base what we believe on truth and not just feelings. I remember when Brittany was, she was a toddler. I don't remember how old she was exactly. I can picture her in my mind. And I would keep her on Thursday, I worked part-time as a youth pastor and part-time in a body shop, an auto body shop, doing their paperwork for them, mixing paint, so forth. And on Thursdays, Kim would go into work later, so I would come home and be there by 1, I think, and she would go to work. Well, so that was our time together. I'd, take her out to the playground, swing her or whatever. And I remember one evening, I was in there. I had something on the stove. Brittany might have been in that little, how they get in that little circle thing where they can walk around or whatever. And a walker. Yeah, there's a walker. And I was on the, remember your phones used to have cords? I was in the kitchen and I was on the phone, got supper going, she's in the walker, and somebody knocks on the door. So I didn't feel like, hey, Lord, I don't even remember who I was talking to, but I just said, come in, like that. And so the door opens, and when the guy peeked in, I thought I recognized him. I thought I lived near him years ago when we were kids and first moved to Hopewell. And I was like, come on, motioning him, come on in. Well, when he stepped in, it was a Mormon missionary. And it was two of them, they come out. And not that I wouldn't have necessarily, talked to him, invite him in, but I wasn't prepared for it, I guess. So I was like, come on in. And so anyway, I'll try to finish and doing what I'm doing. And we got to talking, and then Kim came in. If I remember, you started feeding them cinnamon buns and stuff, and they were like, they came back every week. That's the truth. But honestly, I love those guys. And I appreciate their diligence and, their zeal for their faith and practice. And we just talked. It was very respectful. And I would ask them questions, they share and come back. And they eventually got to the point where they invited me to the local congregation here in the area. And one night, because I was hoping to be an influence to them, and they kept, sending different ones. And one night, the Mormon bishop came in. But during this course of weeks, I had a dream, and this verse came to my mind in the dream, 2 Corinthians 11:4. And so when the Mormon bishop came over that evening, I asked him. Now, if it's a lie, I didn't make it up, all right? If it's not accurate, he told me. But I brought this verse up, and I said, if another Jesus came, or another spirit, or another gospel, how would you recognize another Jesus from the true Jesus? And I'm just to tell you what he said. He said, well, you would know by the feelings of warmth and love that you would have on the inside. And I respected his answer. But where are we told to base our faith on our feelings? The Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that we're to test the spirits because many false spirits have gone out into the world. And we can't test them by emotion and feelings. I'm not bashing them. We must test those spirits by the truth of God's word, because that same text tells us that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his ministers transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You see how important it is to capture those thoughts? So thoughts, and then our words. And in fact, would you turn to Psalms with me? Psalms 1, that'll be our last scripture we'll turn to. The book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 1. Thoughts, words, fellowship. Would you say that with me? Thoughts, words, fellowship. We're talking about putting off the old, putting on the new. Because our words can influence our thoughts, can't they? Big red elephant. I'll just throw that out. How many of you are picturing a big red elephant in your mind right now? Do you see how easy it is how words can do that? The Bible says this in Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. How many of y'all want to be blessed? I do, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, walks not, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers, the scornful. Notice what happens. We're walking, but if we take that ungodly counsel, we get a little more comfortable and we can stand. And then we can just be right at home with what could lead us away from that single-hearted devotion to Christ. Brothers and sisters, much of the so-called counsel and advice given today is ungodly. It will take us on a path away from the Lord. That's why we have to put off the old, put on the new, and make sure we use our weapons to bring our thoughts into obedience to Christ. Let me keep reading here. In contrast, verse 2 says, but his delight, would you say delight? Delight. His delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, the blessed, well, let me keep going. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper, or God brings it to a successful or fruitful conclusion or end. The blessed ones are the ones who delight in, meditate on, and do God's word. Delight in, between you and God right now. How much do you delight in God's word? Do you know that the Bible tells us to desire the word of God? And even if you don't have that right now, you can cultivate a desire for it. You can desire the word of God. You can meditate on it. So the blessed ones are those who delight in, meditate on, and do the word of God. What does it mean to meditate? It literally means to mutter. It's thoughtful deliberation by speaking to oneself. Thoughtful deliberation by speaking to oneself. How many of you have ever worried? Anyone here ever worried? Think about the last thing you worried about, whatever that issue was. Now, did you just say, oh, well, that's okay, I'll blow it off? Or did you revolve it over in your mind again and again, and you had it in your heart, and you woke up, and it was right there, and you talked of, yes, things are getting so, and you said it, and you spoke it, you shared it with others. You were meditating. That's what the Hebrew means. It's just, worry is negative meditation. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. It's just replacing it with God's word and God's truth. Putting off the old, put on the new. Would you say it with me? Put off the old, put on the new. So, if God's word says a truth about you, and the devil says something else, and everyone on this planet, 7 billion people, tell you something else, the question is, what will you say? Because you and I cast the deciding vote about our lives. We have the authority to speak to ourselves, regardless of what the devil or anyone else says, and let's speak the word of God about what he says about ourselves. And then finally, fellowship. Psalms 1, same. I'll just keep reading those last three verses. The ungodly are not so. They're not blessed and prosperous and fruitful, especially in a spiritual, eternal way, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Brothers and sisters, we need a strong connection to the congregation of the righteous. And that's no put down of anyone who's streaming. If you physically, you can't get out. I'm talking about just making other things more important than fellowship. That's all I'm saying. Because if we willfully isolate ourselves from the body of Christ, we're robbing the body of Christ and us of greater effectiveness. We need to be connected in order to bear the full fruit that God wants us. I'm not saying people aren't a Christian. I'm saying if we really want our lives to be fruitful and productive, we need that godly fellowship. We need each other. We're part of a body. And God wants his body to function together. So who do you fellowship with for mutual encouragement? Not that they're always given to you, but we share together. That's one of the reasons I love the groups and the it doesn't matter if it's Zoom or fellowship. Even during the shutdown, it might have been five of us, but I was glad to get together with four other people and have a little time to worship and be together. It's still fellowship, man. I tell you, I appreciate it. And I'm thankful. I'm glad you're here, all of you. I appreciate you, and you've made it a priority. But that connection is so important. It's part of, see, that's where we get those strongholds. Let's be honest. If I'm battling this stronghold, and it's been an issue for 50 years, it's not, like I said, some battles are tougher than others, and I've got to keep using it. But fellowship can help me, because I can learn and grow from others. And maybe I could be a blessing to encourage them too. So he says this in that last verse, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." There's a proverb, if you want to write it down, it's Proverbs 13:20. It just simply says this, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." You want to be wise? Hook up with some wise people. Some that you can grow and learn with and share fellowship together with. And we can say whatever, but our actions reveal what we really believe. So brothers and sisters, build your faith. Use your weapons. Use your weapons. Bring those strongholds down. Don't give up. Like I said, some battles are tougher than others. God is with us. God is for us. And God helps us as we trust him. Let's keep using those weapons. Keep using those weapons. See those devilish strongholds demolished, those fortresses brought down. Reclaim that area under the lordship of King Jesus. Bring every thought captive into obedience of Christ and be the blessed ones who live our lives fruitful to the glory of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's use our God-given weapons. Before we close in prayer, would you just think about that once again and just say, Lord, maybe it just comes right to you right away. Maybe there's an area you feel like you just really struggled. Maybe you feel like the devil has a stronghold. Again, it's not putting you down. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual or not a Christian. It just means it's an area you need the Lord's victory in. That's all. We just need grace. But it's available. I want to stand together with you in prayer. So if you just think about it, one area where you say, Lord, help me. I want to live in the new me. I want to put that old way off, be renewed in my mind, and put on the new which is created according to you in true righteousness and holiness. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer? In fact, would you stand with me, and let's just stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a moment.